Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Village Baptist Church on this beautiful fall morning. If you are joining us online, I welcome you. And if you are joining us here for the first time, I welcome you as well. But there's some welcome cards in the pew pocket in front of you. If you'd like to fill one out and leave it in the box in the back, we would love to learn more about you. This morning, before our announcements, why don't we stand up and greet one another? It looks like you might be able to say hello to just about everybody here this morning. So give it a shot. All right. Several announcements this morning. We have a fellowship luncheon right after worship today, so if you would like to join us, we would love for you to come. If you haven't had a fellowship meal with us before, it'll be a real treat for you. The Worship and Music Commission will be meeting on Tuesday at 7 o'clock on Zoom. The Village Voice deadline is this Wednesday. There'll be a trunk or treat for everyone on October 20th at 7 o'clock with pizza, trunk fun, bonfire, and marshmallows. So adults, start thinking about how you're going to decorate your trunk. There's lots of ideas out there on the internet if you are looking for some. So it's time to purchase poinsettias and for the to decorate the church. The deadline is October 31st, so please fill out the insert in your bulletin. Make sure you get those in. You can put them in the box in the back. There are postcards in the back also to send a postcard to brighten someone's day, so please consider doing that as well. I have two announcements that aren't in your bulletin. The first one is for the from the Missions Commission. The Bowie Pantry is seeking donations for non-perishable items, as we usually do. So if you are interested in bringing in items, bring them in anytime. The Missions Commission will work on getting those delivered. The people of Bowie and PG County really appreciate our donations and are especially in need right now. So if you when you're grocery shopping this week, you might want to take some time out to grab a couple extra things maybe and bring those with you. The final announcement I have this morning is about the town hall that initially was scheduled for November 5th. We're going to have to push that back till November 19th. Our moderator, Tricia Miller-Manorin, is not going to be able to be with us on November 5th, so we're going to push that to November 19th. We're going to do it right after church. There will be some finger food to snack on while we're meeting, and so I strongly encourage everyone to put that on your calendar and plan to come after church that day. The Pastor Search Committee is very interested in hearing everyone's voice so that we can get together a real good sense of what it is the church is looking for in our next pastor. Speaking of pastors, our interim pastor, Joel Hawthorne, was not feeling well this morning, so we are especially thankful for Pastor Bruce for filling in for him this morning. We're always happy to have him with us. So, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Be joyful in the Lord, all you.
Please stand and join me as we sing.
Well, good morning. It's a real delight for me and Linda to be with you this morning. We're here because Pastor Joel is in the hospital. Pastor Joel, you might know, has been hospitalized a number of times because of infections. And I communicated with his wife, Terry, last night. He's doing better. They're monitoring his condition. He's being treated in the hospital. Our prayers that the treatment will be effective and he'll be released, discharged soon. But in the meantime, we certainly will be praying for him. We want to thank you for your prayers for us. You might remember that Linda had some health issues several months ago and was in the ER three nights and in the hospital three nights. In fact, three different hospitals. So she can kind of give you her take on the medical system right now, but she's doing better, and we're thankful for that. She still is not able to drive, so I'm the Uber driver, and she sends me a message when she needs to go somewhere, and I take her. But she's here today, and we're grateful for your prayers for her, and we're grateful that she's made such progress. I had cataract surgery on Wednesday, and I'm doing well. I can see all of you, so hopefully I'll be able to see my notes when the sermon time comes. But we are grateful for the treatment that's available and for the healing that comes. Now, we want to have a time of prayer. Before we do that, we want to offer you the opportunity to voice some prayer requests. And we'll be happy to hear those and to pray for those. Are there some that would want to mention somebody? Oh God, you have already heard our prayer requests. You know the needs of our hearts. You know where we're hurting and where we're celebrating. You are so near to us that even our thoughts are heard by you. And yet, our Father, by coming together and sharing these concerns with one another, we feel as if we are in this together. We are supporting each other and helping each other. And we are there for each other because you are there for us. We have so many concerns. People that we know and care about who are sick, people that are struggling with their own challenges of life, people that face circumstances beyond our knowledge, and yet we know they're struggling and they need your help. We also know that on a much larger scale, this world needs your help. We think right now about what's going on in Gaza, in Israel, in Palestine, about the war that has already claimed so many innocent lives. We think about the people of Ukraine and the suffering they've had for these many months. And we think about people in other parts of the world who are dealing with conflict, dealing with natural disasters, dealing with unjust systems of government, dealing with persecution. We pray that you would help them. Help them know that they are not alone. Help them through these times of trial. And we pray you'd help us. May we be aware of the needs around us. May be aware of those brothers and sisters in our own community who need encouragement, who need a word of help, who need our prayers for them. We're so grateful, O God, that we can pray to you at any time about any subject and know that you're here and know that you care and know that you are there for us. May we, O God, deepen our trust in you, and in that trust, learn not to be afraid, but learn to face the future with hope, even as we walk day by day, confident that you are with us every step of the way. And we pray this prayer with confidence and hope because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right, it's time for the children's story. I might need my college friend to come up too, because I'm a little slow. Where we go? We got a few. Come on. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So this week, Avery, Joe, and I were trying to brainstorm what we should do for the children's story. We like to do that. I always like to talk to my kids because I figure I have like a good focus group right at my house about what we might be interested in. So we looked around our house, and if you look at my bag, what did we notice all over our house? That's right, we saw Halloween decorations. We really like Halloween. We just really have a fun time with it. So we started thinking, okay, what can we bring in about Halloween that might have to do with church, right? So we saw witches' hats, and I thought, what's the point in that? You get it? Because there's a point on the hat. I got a couple of you. We saw a jack-o'-lantern, which there's something there, but Miss Casey did a story about jack-o'-lanterns a few years back. It was really great. We'll have to have her recreate that sometime. We saw monsters. We didn't know. We saw mummies. I didn't think we could unwrap that in one session. That one was pretty good too, right? So anyways, we saw something that we thought, that's it. That is it. And so it's right here in my bag. What do you think I have in here? Shh, you know what I have. Anybody know? It's fuzzy. It's furry. Oh, it's a big, huge, furry spider. Look at that cute little guy. I even glued googly eyes on him. That's how much I love Halloween. Now, what might a spider have to do with church? Yes, Jordan. We noticed spiders have 8 legs, and you know what it made us think of? This is not just any other spider. This is a praying spider. This is a praying spider, and what we learned is that sometimes, you know, we need to learn how to pray and be intentional in the things we pray about. And grown-ups, we just know how to pray, but someone taught us somewhere along the line, and they, you know, we all learned some prayers about, like, how to pray before we eat. You all know, like, what's the prayer before you eat? You all know it? Like, God, we thank you for our food. You know any of those? No. Anyone out there in the audience know little prayers like that before you eat, before you go to bed? Well, anyways, we thought spiders might be a good way to make us think about intentionally thinking of 8 different things to pray about, because it really doesn't matter necessarily what we pray, but we know that the Bible tells us time and time and time and time again that we have to take time to talk to God and pray. So I thought you could help us think of 8 things that we're going to pray about. And there happened to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us here. So if we're all willing to say one thing, then we can pray with my praying spider. What do y'all think? Okay, I'm going to come down the line. You don't have to. You can pass if you want to. What do you think we should pray about?
Jesus.
Jesus, good one. Oh, being thankful for food and the things we have in our lives. I like that. Food, shelter, we can, you know, put that all in one.
Family.
Ooh, family. You must have a good family.
People.
Yes, we should pray about people. Good one.
Our church.
Ooh, very good. What do you think?
Maybe people struggling with mental health.
Ooh, love it. Gotta go to you, Tony.
Maybe guidance.
Guidance, what a good one. And I'm going to pray in particular for our pastor, our current interim pastor, our former pastors. One just had a baby. One's here with us now. And then also our pastor search committee, who's working really hard to find our future pastor who's out there somewhere. All right, let's see if I can remember all of those. Whew. And then in a second, guess what I have for all of you? You can actually have one right now so you can help pray. I've got praying spiders for you too, so while you hold them, yeah, you know I have to do that. While you hold your little praying spider, oh geez, whoo, spiders on the floor. Yeah, it was harder to find fake spiders than I thought it would be. You want one? I got another one for you. I just got to unwrap it. All right, so as you can hang on to this special praying spider, and then when people are like, what are you doing? You'd be like, I'm praying. And you can just move your fingers along those eight little legs. All right, let's see if I can remember what all we're praying about. And church, if you can join me, unfortunately, I don't have enough praying spiders for all of you, but you can come pet mine later. All right, dear Lord, please pray for God and for all the wonderful things that you have done for us. You created us in your image to do your work. You created Jesus so that we can see exactly the life that we're meant to live. If you can give us the strength to do that, give us the guidance that is necessary for us to do that. Please pray that we can remain thankful for the food that we have, especially the food that we'll enjoy together after this service, but for all the things in our life, like our shelter and the basic needs that we have, and for those that struggle to have those necessities. Please pray for our families, our direct family, but also all the families, the village around us, our friends that hold us up and treat us like families. Please pray for people who just need some love, all the people that are close to us and those people that have harmed us, that we can find it in our hearts to forgive them. Please pray for our church. Please pray for those who are sick, either physically or even emotionally, mentally, and pray for guidance, that we can live in your name, and pray for our pastors, our former pastors, and our interim pastor, Joel, and our future pastor and our pastor search committee. May we welcome whoever that person is and hold the pastor search committee in our thoughts and prayers as they work tirelessly in that role. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to hang out and watch the jam and music, and then we'll go to children's church.
Good morning. The name of today's song is Greater. It's Greater is the one who is living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
Bring your tired, bring your shame, bring your gifts, and bring your pain. Don't you know it's not your name? He will always be much more to me. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. Bring your doubts, bring your fears, bring your hurt, and bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. You are holy, righteous, and redeemed. Every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. But that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. There'll be days I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war. He's greater.
He's
greater. I was learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more. He's greater. There'll be days I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war. He's greater.
He's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more. He's greater. 'Cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed, when others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. There'll be days I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war. He's greater.
He's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more than he who is living in the world.
Again. Excuse me. The scripture this morning is taken from Philippians 3, verses 4b to 14. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of for me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have laid hold of it, but one thing I have laid hold of, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal, toward the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. May God grant us understanding of his holy word.
Today's sermon may not be as long as usual. Yesterday, when Carlin contacted me about coming today, I told her that I had a lot going on my plate yesterday. We had a beautiful wedding here yesterday. Tawana's here, the mother of the bride. And Tara was married yesterday right here in this place. And we had a full congregation and just a wonderful time of celebration and commitment as Tara and Gavin became husband and wife. Because that was yesterday, already on the schedule, there wasn't a whole lot of time to prepare a sermon. In fact, when I talked to Terry last night, she apologized for the short notice, but of course, Joel's hospitalization was not something they planned. Most sermons take a lot of study and preparation and prayer, and I crammed that all into just a few hours yesterday, so you'll understand the brevity of today's message. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in his sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. There has been a lot of bad news coming out of the Middle East these days. The latest war between Hamas and Israel is getting worse day by day. It started when Hamas fighters invaded Israel and began killing and capturing civilians. It continued when Hamas rocket attacks on Israel killed many more. And now there's Israel's response. I've been trying to understand what's behind it, so I did a little research. Hamas, or the Islamic Resistance Movement, is a radical political and military organization based in Gaza, adjacent to Israel. It was founded in 1967 by a Palestinian imam and activist. Eventually, Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip and became the de facto government of Gaza. The goal of Hamas goes far beyond Gaza, however. Rejecting the two-state solution for relations between Palestinians and Israelis, Hamas seeks an Islamic Palestinian state that includes not only Gaza, but all of Israel and the West Bank. Hamas has sought war with Israel since its founding. This latest war was preceded by wars between Hamas and Israel in 2014 and 2012 and 2009 and 2008 and the late 90s and before. Many countries have labeled Hamas as a terrorist organization because of their violence against civilians. And from reports of the last week, we know that there were many acts of terrorism committed by Hamas in Israel. The question is, why did they do it? Why did the Hamas fighters cross into Israel and begin attacking and kidnapping civilians? Well, my only conclusion is that their hatred toward Israel has become an obsession. They are obsessed with destroying Israel and establishing an Islamic state of Palestine. It is an evil obsession that is leading to the deaths of so many people, both Palestinians and Israelis, and the deaths go on. Well, you might wonder, what does this have to do with our scripture for today? Well, in our scripture, Paul wrote about his own kind of obsession. Paul had what psychologists call an obsessive personality. Whatever Paul did, he did it full bore, no holding back. He was totally committed in whatever he did. Before he became a Christian, Paul was a Jew, and he wasn't just any Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was the Jew of all Jews. The Pharisees were among the most obsessed people in terms of their religion of anybody of that day. The name Pharisee means separated one. That's because they separated themselves from the other Jews. They separated themselves from ordinary life in order to devote themselves to righteous living. Their single aim was to keep every detail of the law, to obey all the commandments to the nth degree, to be as righteous as a person could be. And frankly, they were pretty obnoxious about it because they were so obsessed with being so righteous, they pretty much condemned everybody else. Paul had devoted his life to the righteous observance of the Jewish religion. He was so zealous, in fact, that Paul became a persecutor of the church. I hesitate to draw the connection, but Paul was almost of the Hamas mindset of his day. His goal was to destroy the church, to wipe out the Christian movement, to eliminate all the Christians because he thought they had it wrong. He was so obsessed with being so self-righteous that Paul persecuted and even worked toward the arrest and the execution of Christians. He viewed wiping out the Christian movement as a moral obligation to keep the Jewish religion pure and undefiled. But then the big change. Paul, formerly known as Saul, became a Christian himself. He began to follow Jesus. The church that he had worked so hard to destroy became his spiritual home. The faith that he had tried to discredit and eliminate, he now recognized as the truth. That's why Paul could write, "Whatever gains I had as a Pharisee, these I've come to regard as loss because of Christ." After he became a Christian, Paul found a new passion in life, a new purpose for his living. Paul wrote, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may obtain the resurrection of the dead." In effect, Paul died to his old way of life and was born to a new life in Christ. Paul found a new passion, a new obsession. He had been raised to new life as a Christian. This new obsession Paul described like this: "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul had been the best Jew he could be. But after he came to faith in Jesus, he considered his religious accomplishments as worthless compared with the joy that he found in following Jesus. Paul had discovered the only way to peace with God is not through righteous observance of the law, not through putting other people down, not through condemning everybody else. The only way to peace with God is through the gift of faith. Paul had discovered that that right relationship with God is not based on the law, but based on his faith in Jesus. He discovered that salvation is not achieved by righteous living, rather salvation is received by faith and trust. Now, even though salvation comes from what we receive, not from what we achieve, the Christian life still requires effort and commitment. We press on toward the goal. We give ourselves to God. We strive to follow Jesus. We live by the Spirit. We answer a higher calling. We want to know Christ and become like him. Kurt Kaiser wrote a song he titled, "That's For Me." I'm not going to sing it, but I'll tell you the words. "That's for me. Yes, that's for me. I'm all done with my running away. Since I came to him and gave in to him, 'twas a very happy day. That's for me. Yes, that's for me. I was tired of the grayness of life. Though against my will, all I sought was thrills, but it only brought me strife. Once life had no meaning. Once life gave no rest. But now, everything's different. This new life certainly is best. That's for me. Yes, that's for me. I'm all done with my running away. Since I came to him and gave in to him, 'twas a very happy day. We who follow Jesus have a different obsession, a different goal in life. Our purpose is not to hurt other people. Our purpose is to love other people. And so we pray for peace and justice in Palestine and in Israel and in Ukraine and in all the places where people are being attacked and killed out of an evil obsession to conquer and destroy. Paul recognized his own evil obsession to destroy the church and the Christian movement. He repented of that evil, and he devoted his life to loving others as he pressed on toward the goal of following Jesus. May we press on toward the goal of following Jesus. May we love God, and may we love others as we love ourselves. Our Father, we confess that sometimes we lose sight of the goal in life. Sometimes we become obsessed with other things, and we forget that you have called us to follow Jesus, to live for him, and to love for him. Help us remember those two greatest commandments, to love you and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And as we live in love, we will live in peace and justice and righteousness in this world. May we press on toward the goal of the heavenly calling to follow Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song together, Higher Ground.
Please stand. Thank you.
Okay, I told you it'd be a shorter sermon, but we have a wonderful opportunity to share some time together in the meal that follows in the fellowship hall. Everybody's invited. We'd love to have you join us. Linda and I look forward to talking to many of you. So I hope that you can stay a few moments and join us down in the fellowship hall. And now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and abide upon us all, now and forever. Amen.